longest and costliest strike in the history of the steel industry hit the United States economy in 1959. The steel industry across the nation banked its furnaces, turned off the vital flow of steel. Many of the nation's auto plants closed down within a few months, their supply of steel used up.
Back in the 1950s, unions had hit their stride. Strikes could bring down entire industries and even force the intervention of the President of the United States.
I'm not going to try to assess any blame, but I'm getting sick and tired of the apparent impasse in the settlement of this matter. And I think so are the American people.
President Eisenhower ordered 500,000 striking steel workers back to their jobs, but the steel plants ultimately did meet the workers' demands. Today, America's unions are a shadow of their former selves. In 1973, a quarter of all American workers were members of a union. By 2012, that number had plummeted to 11.2%. But a new form of labor organization is making a difference in addressing the needs of some workers, especially immigrant workers, who get jobs that are typically not unionized. Christina Sinzun is the executive director of the Workers' Defense Project, and she's on the line with me now.
Hi, Manoush. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Christina. Your organization has had a lot of success in the otherwise flagging labor movement. What sort of working conditions are we talking about for the workers that you represent?
Well, our organization is based in Texas, and construction jobs in other parts of the country are good blue-collar jobs that are unionized. But in Texas, it's a conservative right-to-work state, and where half of the workforce in the construction industry are undocumented, we see some of the worst conditions in the country. So Texas is the most deadly place for construction workers. More construction workers die in Texas than in any other state. In fact, we have seen a slight decrease since we started working on this issue, but at its peak just a few years ago, 142 workers died in Texas in 1 year. That was meant a worker was dying every 2.5 days. And wow. We're the only state in the country also that doesn't require workers' compensation to help a worker when they're injured. And it's very common practice in the Texas construction industry for workers to not even be paid for their work or be paid $2, $3 an hour. So we're up against a really hard industry and seeing some of just atrocious conditions in the state of Texas. That's why we're organizing to change that.
Yeah, and what do you do exactly to support these workers? Is it more about their working rights or their immigrant rights or both?
Well, I think for us, it's both. Workers' rights are immigrants' rights and vice versa. We're fighting to raise standards in the construction industry. Like the other over 200 worker centers in the country, we do that by providing direct services to workers when they're not paid to make sure that they get their wages back or make sure that they get the medical care they need and can stand up to their employers who try and violate their rights with impunity. But beyond that, we're trying to raise standards that go beyond legal minimums because we know what the minimum wage is now and the rights and protections that workers have now are really not good enough. And so in Texas, for instance, you don't even have a right to a rest break. We have workers regularly fainting on jobs and dying in heat exhaustion. And the city where I work in Austin, we are the only city in the state that workers now have the right to paid rest breaks to protect them. And it's just a basic gain, but it's something that we won and our members won that now we're hoping to take to other parts of the state.
Can you give me an example of something that you sort of brokered with a company? I understand Apple might be one of those companies.
Yeah, so our organization has also tried to look at how Texas is one of the fastest growing states in the country. But not everyone has benefited at the same rate from this growth. The economic miracle hasn't been trickled down to the workers that are doing some of the most dangerous and difficult jobs. So Apple was recently given close to $30 million in tax breaks to come build a new complex here in Austin. And we started to change the conversation in the city and at the county level and say, well, what about the construction workers? What kind of conditions are they going to face? And this is the first time that that conversation ever happened on these kinds of projects. And we won construction workers a living wage of $12 an hour. That was the lowest that anybody can be paid on that project. We won safety training, workers' compensation coverage, and then really importantly, we won the right to monitor all of those standards to make sure they're being adhered to and that workers get to benefit from those gains. And that's a huge victory for workers and I think particularly inspiring not just immigrant workers, but other folks and construction workers that are U.S. citizens. Because if immigrant workers can win these kinds of gains, I think it just shows that if we are well organized and thoughtful about our work, that we can really make advancements for workers.
But, you know, traditional unions, even at the peak of their power, they were largely unable to represent immigrant workers. They were sort of, immigrants were seen as stealing those native-born Americans' jobs. So how do you see yourself different than unions? Do you feel a connection to sort of the union legacy, or is this something completely different?
Well, I think we see ourselves as part of a broad labor movement of community groups, of churches, and faith partners that are taking interest in what happens to workers and seeing it as a core value of who we are as a country. So we do see ourselves an alliance with labor unions, but we see that the same with business partners as well that want to see better conditions for workers.
And you call it a conversation, right? Not so much a negotiation.
Right. We try and raise standards through community pressure and support, but we're doing that with a broad coalition. We're not doing that in the way that a union would do that. It's very different.
Christina, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
Christina Zinzun is the executive director of the Workers' Defense Project. Her organization has had a lot of success in the flagging labor movement.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.